Jesus, light of the world. This is from the start of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
If only God would make himself known. If only I could see God, then I would believe. Are those thoughts that you have ever had? They're ones that many have echoed down the centuries. And in the reading we've just heard from John's Gospel and printed in your service booklets, John, who is one of Jesus' closest followers, answers this common objection to Christian faith. He shows us that we can know God and that we must follow him. It's our conviction that John has written a reliable and trustworthy account about Jesus. And that's where I'm going to focus this talk. We'd love you to take away a copy of John's Gospel after the service and read it for yourself. And please do ask any questions afterwards as well. Well, tonight we're going to be zooming in on John chapter 1 and verse 18, the last verse we had read. And I've got three headings to help us look more closely at that verse. You can see them in your booklets as well. These are the headings. We can't see God. Jesus makes God known. So believe in Jesus. So firstly, we can't see God. John, as he writes his gospel, has given the most amazing introduction to his account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He couldn't have opened up with a bigger picture, could he? He takes us from the very beginning of time, from creation, right up to the time that he was writing. What did you think when you heard it read? Did you get the wow factor that John is giving us? Each verse is packed with nuggets of truth. We see, for example, that Jesus is described as the true light who gives light to everyone. And the Word became flesh. That is, he became human like us. Verse 16 tells us that we have all received grace in place of grace. But when we get to verse 18, there seems to be some sort of an anticlimax, doesn't there? No one has ever seen God, John writes. That's a bit deflating, isn't it? Well, is imagining God the best that we can do? Maybe that's what you're thinking tonight. A carol service is a nice thing to come to at this time of year, but all that God stuff seems a bit remote. Aren't we just left with speculation? There might be a God out there somewhere, but how can we be sure? And yet in this verse, John is drawing together all the strands he's given us in the first 17 verses. The fact that no one has ever seen God is a problem, John says, but it's not one that we're left hanging without an answer. The Bible teaches us that God is our creator and that we are made in his image, made for a relationship with him and to know him. However, we want to live the way that we choose, and we reject God, and that's what that reading we saw in Genesis earlier was all about. Because we've rejected God, this means that we can't know him unless he reaches out to us. You see, if God is who he says he is, then we've got a problem at the beginning of verse 18. We need to see God, we need to know him to be truly who he's made us to be. And yet, we can't get anywhere near him. So John's not giving us some sort of abstract statement that we can take or leave. You know, if he'd said, no one can ever be in two places at once, well, that would have no bearing on our eternal destiny. But eternal destiny is what's at stake here. The fact that we can't naturally see or know God means that we are separated from him and cannot do anything ourselves to change that. Have you been watching any of the World Cup these past few weeks? If you missed last night's match, or if you're not interested in football at all, well, you may not be able to join in the conversation in the pub or at work this week, but that won't prove a major setback in the long run. We'll have soon forgotten last night's match. It really isn't vital to have seen it, after all. Yet, what John is saying here is that we do need to see God. We cannot do without him. So do you see your need for God? No one has ever seen God, which is why the but in verse 18 is such good news. That small word, but. Our first point is that we can't see God, but our second is that Jesus makes God known. Maybe you came here tonight doubting that we can say anything clear about God, that the best we can do perhaps is guesswork. Well, what John tells us is that we have no need to doubt or speculate. God has taken the initiative to make himself known to us in Jesus. So to say, I like to think of God as this or that, well, that's to miss the point. Jesus is the revelation that God has given us. So to look elsewhere makes no sense. We need to hear God speak for himself in Jesus. We're not left at a dead end at the start of verse 18. It sets up a mind-blowing truth. We can know God through Jesus, the wow factor. John then shows us where we cannot and should not look beyond Jesus if we are to know God. He highlights three things about Jesus' identity in that verse. Jesus is the one and only Son. It is he alone who has this mission to reveal God, to make his Father known. He's not one of many messengers offering different ways to God. He's the only one, John says. Secondly, Jesus is himself God. We've already seen this at the beginning of the chapter. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is making an extraordinary claim about a person he knew. But if it's true, it's surely a claim that we can't ignore. Jesus is not merely a spokesperson or a representative. He is himself God. And thirdly, we see that Jesus is in the closest relationship with the Father. Jesus can reveal God fully because he knows him intimately. John wants to leave us in no doubt as he writes his introduction. The problem that no one has ever seen God has been fully resolved in Jesus. He is the great light that we saw in that reading from Isaiah earlier as well. So if you wanted to know about me, the best way would be for me to introduce myself to you so you knew what I was like. Instead of picking up bits and pieces of information, you would hear from me directly. Well, that's what's at stake in this verse. God has introduced himself to us directly in Jesus. And what's more, we need to know God. This is not just a nice relationship that we can fit in if we've got a bit of space. It is essential, says John. So the message for us is that we don't need to look for vague information about God. Look to Jesus himself. We can't see God, but Jesus makes God known. So where does that leave us? It's clear from this whole introduction that John's writing, he wants a response from his readers. And our third point tonight is so believe in him. So believe in Jesus. Jesus made God known so that we might believe in him. As we read John's introduction, the question for us is, will we believe? Have a look at verse 12. In that chapter, this is what John writes. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To receive Jesus is to believe in him. To be truly who we were made to be part of God's family, we need to believe in Jesus. That's what John says. And as he continues his account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, John will explain what believing in Jesus means. We need to believe that Jesus is God's Saviour. We have all turned our backs on God and rejected him. Just like we saw in our first reading from Genesis. This leaves us facing eternity separated from God. But in his amazing love, God has sent Jesus to rescue those who believe in him. Jesus did this by dying on a cross for their sins, their rebellion against God, so that they might be forgiven. So that's the so what of this passage, the so what for us this evening. John is highlighting a major problem. We can't see God. He shows us God's solution. Jesus makes God known, but we can't just leave it there. The clear implication and command is so believe in him. Well, tonight we're simply scratching the surface of John's gospel. John tells us that Jesus has made God known. We can know God through Jesus. At the end of his account, John says his aim for writing the whole thing is that by believing in Jesus, his readers may have life in his name. We would love you to take away a copy of John's Gospel tonight and read it for yourself. And we pray that as a result, you would come to know Jesus and believe in him and receive the eternal life that he offers. So we can't see God, but Jesus makes God known. So will you believe in him? I'm just going to pray now. Father God, thank you for this message we get from John, who points us to Jesus as your Saviour sent for us. As we celebrate Christmas this year, help us to see that the meaning is found in Jesus. Amen.